Okay, here we go. The Ben and Maggie Show.
He's about to get crazy and wild. Stay for a while. Don't touch your radio dial.
The Ben and Maggie Show.
Kicking it back. Sports talk. Listen to that and stay tuned for some giggles and laughs. Go.
I never voted Republican my whole life. I was very left-leaning. But California went nuts, man. It's gone like full communist. It's out of its f***ing mind.
Welcome to the Ben and Maggie Show.
Now that's silly.
It's Planet of Mikey episode. We don't know or care what number episode it is because, you know, like anything that's world-conquering great.
267.
There's no numerical association with specificity. Phew, wow.
That's good.
Circumlocuted my way into hell and back. Bill Smith's right over there.
Thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, hi, Mike.
Ben Kitchen.
Hi, Ben.
Over here to my left.
Hello. And,
that's the crew as we know it, the high-paid crew, by the way. You know, we do have union scales here in the podcast studio.
Yeah.
We use them to weigh kilos of weed, the union scales. Speaking of which, how's everybody doing over here? Everybody good?
I'm doing fine.
You okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, why are your eyes all like that?
I don't know.
Oh, nice.
What was that?
That was Ben's eye.
Ben's eye?
Yeah.
That was the video just dying.
Yeah, I got the...
Really?
Yep.
So does that mean we have to vamp until the video becomes ready again?
Yeah. Do you have spring allergies?
No, I don't have... I don't really, as far as I know, have any allergies.
Oh, I got them. They're pretty bad this week.
Is it hay fever?
Early. I don't know.
You know, when hay fever comes around, you know what you do? You go, hey, hay fever. And then it's gone. Is it broken? Did you break that?
Might have. We'll find out in a minute.
Now, is it all this going to go in the podcast?
Yeah. We're watching.
Yeah, this is all in.
Ben is performing.
We're just doing a podcast.
All these technical snafus?
He's performing maintenance right now, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fine. We'll just have like the two monkeys clanging cymbals while this part goes during the video portion.
Perfect.
Are we going to get another monkey? By the way, monkeys or me don't. We don't. We don't do well together.
What do you mean?
Well, I had Gilligan, who died on my watch. Yeah. You remember him? After he threw his shit at me for a month and a half.
You murdered
every
Gilligan.
Day. Oh. Yeah, he was a monkey. He was a capuchin monkey. And then there was me and Mutt.
Yeah.
You know, he wished he had shit to throw at me in the studio that famous night back
I'll bet he wished he had a bag of little shit balls to throw at you.
In 2015. Remember that? That was a great night when Mutt went freaky nutball based on Kirk's puppeteering.
Got to say, it was great radio.
It was almost like Obama controlling everything Biden says. It was Kirk Minahan behind the scenes with the Godfather marionette strings. Yeah. That's what it was. And Mutt, of course, you know, like the organ grinder's monkey, just doing whatever Kirk said. Remember that? Oh, God.
Sorry, Mutt.
Those were the days. You know who's a big Kirk guy now? And I follow him on Twitter. Tom Shattuck?
Tom Shattuck, yes.
He's like kissing Kirk's ass. What's up and down the street.
He's got a show in Connecticut called The Burn Bag, I think it's called.
Well, he's on TIC 1080
AM.
But he's also got something that he's affiliated with Minahan on, which means unfortunately, because I like Tom. I'll never watch it.
Tom's a good guy.
We're brought to you by ProAutomotiveMA.com.
If you've got trouble with your car, truck, or SUV, ProAutomotive is who you see. Automotive.
ProAutomotiveMA.com. That's their website. Three locations. Look them up. Google that shit. Also brought to you by Shaoxing Firearms, where you get your guns. And Vinny will take good care of you.
Sure will.
You'll always feel safe after that.
Shaoxing Firearms in Billerica.
Also, of course, I want you guys to see. I'm going to see if you pay attention.
No, we don't.
Tell me about my grandma's coffee cake without me helping you.
It's delicious. What else do you need to know?
It's nutritious.
It comes in all sorts of flavors. Blueberry, cinnamon walnut,
well, how does one,
pineapple.
How does one get a cake from my grandma's coffee cakes, guys?
They call 1-800-8-GRANDMA.
Aha!
Or go to my... grandmascoffeecake.com.
No,
what is
no,
it?
No.
Shit, I
my
forgot.
Mygrandma.com.
Mygrandma.com.
Smitty, anything else you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, you know, you can only eat one a day, the entire thing.
If you ate one of those a day, you know, the 4-pounders, yeah, you'd be big.
But, you know, they're delicious. And if you're hungry, let's say you come up, you've got a case of the munchies.
Yeah.
And you happen to spy the box in the kitchen with my grandma's cake in it. Mm-hmm. You can't just eat one piece.
Well, I sent a cake to my friend Pete down in Connecticut, who I've known since kindergarten.
Yeah.
And Pete Ware. I went to kindergarten with a guy. He's still my friend. This is what I do. I get friends, and I keep them forever.
Wow.
It makes it that much easier. You don't have to go out and get new friends. But Pete Ware just turned 70 yesterday, April Fool's Day. And I sent him a blueberry My Grandma's coffee cake.
Oh, see, that's nice.
Yeah, I called 1-800-8-GRANDMA.
And isn't there a code you could use to get $5 off?
Yeah, well, I think, what is it, Mikey 5 or something? No, what is it?
So I think it is Mikey 5.
Mikey 5.
Yeah.
I think so.
Shows how much you pay attention.
I'm not sure that promotion ran after Christmas, though, but it's April.
Bob Cates will take care of you.
He's a good man. Yeah, give it a shot. Get $5 off. What else was I going to tell? Oh, speaking of big.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Today would have been Dick Raddatz's 87th birthday.
Oh, Dick. Mm. Yeah.
He was big. He was a big boy. He was, when he pitched, he was 6'6", 260.
Wow.
Which is big. When he stopped pitching, he was 6'6", 360. But what a great guy he was. He had the greatest laugh. Whoa, he had this roar. He and Tommy Heinsohn laughed the same exact way. They were very good friends, too. I remember at Glenn Ordway's, I think it was his 50th birthday party, Tommy Heinsohn was there. Dick Raddatz was there. And all you could hear across the entire yard was those two guys bellowing laughter off the deck. And everybody's like, look at these guys. They were having the time of their life. And they were really good friends. Raddatz passed away, of course, in 2005.
And what did he do? He fell down a flight of stairs, a poor guy?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah, he did.
Name all the teams he played for.
Dick Raddatz?
Yeah, go.
Oh, I can do that.
Go.
Red Sox, Cleveland Indians, Detroit Tigers, Montreal Expos.
And?
What?
And?
I said Cleveland, Detroit, Montreal, Boston.
Yeah. Oh, you said Boston. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're missing one.
No.
20 games in 1967 for the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, that's right.
See that?
How quickly we forget.
The Cubbies.
One of the great guys ever. I worked with him on the Mike and the Monsters show. It was a pleasure of my lifetime working with him because he had such great stories. Well,
were you Mike of Mike and the Monsters?
Well, yes.
Yeah, just a guess.
You nailed that one down.
Thanks, man.
And he used to tell the best stories off the air that you could ever, but you could never tell them on the air because they were filled with all, peppered with all kinds of shit that was just not suitable for air. But, and of course, I told you the Louis Tion monster thing.
Yep. Right?
Which was one of the great moments. Because there's no one more caustic than Tion when he wants to be. Hmm. You know, he's got that, you know, that sense of humor that, and everybody, and the teammates all love that. You know, these guys are very sarcastic in the locker room, these major league players.
Yeah.
They love to give each other shit. It's one of their hobbies, you know. So, and Louie and Dick Raddatz played together with the Cleveland Indians briefly for a while there. You know, Monster was the Fireman of the Year, which is a special thing for relief pitchers. He's also still, to this very day, even though it's been 60-something years since he threw a major league pitch, he is still the all-time major league record holder for the most strikeouts by a relief pitcher in one season. No one's ever gone, none of these guys, none of these fireballing, not Mariano Rivera, not Hader, any of these fastball guys. You know, who was the guy the Red Sox had that threw really hard a few years ago?
Jonathan Papelbon?
No. Well, yeah, him. But Raddatz has the record all time, 178 strikeouts or something like that, as a relief pitcher in one season. Hmm. The Monster, born on this date, April 2nd, 1937. By the way, other baseball birthdays of note?
Luke Appling.
Do you remember, you're playing that game of Luke again. You're going to Luke till you puke. Al Nipper's birthday today. How old do you think Al Nipper is?
87.
62.
65.
Wow. Right.
What a great name that is, Nipper.
The Nip.
The Nip.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you give somebody a titty twister every time you meet him and say, that's me, Al Nipper. Don Sutton, who's not with us anymore, he would have been 79 today. He's in the Hall of Fame. He had 300 wins. Former Red Sox outfielder Reggie Smith. switch hitter that went to the Dodgers after he left the Red Sox, and then the Cardinals. I think he played for one more team, too.
Giants.
Giants. Reggie Smith is 79 years old today. And you know who the Red Sox traded? When they traded Reggie Smith, you know who they got back?
Bill Smith.
Let's see if Ben can do this. Okay. Who did the Red Sox get back when they traded Reggie Smith to the Cardinals?
To the Cardinals, Bernie Carbo.
Yes.
How about that?
Aha. And?
Oh, I don't know.
Rick Wise.
Oh.
That's a good trade for the Red Sox.
That is actually a good trade.
Those two guys got the Red. I think Rick Wise won 18 games for the 75 Red Sox.
You want me to look it up?
And Bernie Carbo, one of my favorite all-time baseball players, came and hit tremendously off the bench. He's a great pinch hitter. He was. You know why? Because you know why Bernie was a great pinch hitter? He never got nervous about shit. It's like nothing made him nervous. Also,
Rick Wise won 19 games.
19.
Yeah.
We also should mention the passing of Larry Lucchino. Mm. Larry was 78 years old. I was shocked to hear that he died. I know, you don't hear about any health issues he might have been going through or whatever, but this morning he died.
Didn't even know he was sick.
I know.
Yeah.
And Larry Lucchino, of course, key member of the Red Sox front office, president of the Red Sox, and got him 3 championships, broke the curse, redid Fenway Park, as he did in Baltimore with the Camden Yards. This guy was a kind of a baseball sidebar genius, and he was – I always liked him, got along good. I had some good conversations with him.
Yeah, me too. I met him twice, and he was just very friendly.
Good
and
guy.
Outgoing.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did that whole thing with Worcester. You know, he basically, you know, started that whole thing with the Woo Sox, and then he sold it just recently. But Larry Lucchino dead at the age of 78. Our hats off to Larry, as Del Shannon once sang.
Yeah.
Do we have that song?
No.
Could you?
No.
I mean, but let's say you could find Hats Off to Larry and put it in as a timely little piece of, I mean, I should have mentioned it before we started the podcast. I admit that. Hats Off to Larry. Okay, ready? Can we play this? It's probably a commercial in front of it because it's YouTube.
There's definitely going to be a commercial.
Really?
Of course.
I hate that. So what do we do, talk over the commercial?
Oh, here you go.
Once I had a pretty girl, her name, it doesn't matter. She went away with another guy.
This is the guy that did the song.
He won't even
Runaway,
look at her.
Del Shannon.
Hats off to Larry, he broke your heart.
That's terrible.
Blip.
No, but that shows you what Del Shannon was out to. After Runaway, he was nothing.
Well, Runaway was a giant hit.
Well, I know, but after that, he was nothing. You hear that follow-up song? Was that his follow-up hit?
I think so.
Hats off to Larry? Again, we're respecting Larry Lucchino, but we can't respect that song.
No, it's terrible. That's you were the only one that wanted to play it.
Well, it's a piece of shit.
Del Shannon.
Blame you.
Del Shannon always said nice things
about
you, Mike.
It's a piece of shit song.
Oh, jeez.
You know. I mean, I'm like that. I used to be like that when I was in the car business. Somebody come in with a Saturn Ion and trying to trade it in on a new Ford, and I'd say, "We don't want that piece of shit." By the way, so I was driving. I heard. I think we've really gotten ourselves in trouble with these electric cars.
On the road again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
So I'm driving, and a car blows past me on the highway. And it's a Maine license plate in the state of Maine, and it's a Tesla. Mm. And it goes whipping past me on the left, and his license plate said, "Gas, LOL." I thought, that fucking asshole.
Oh, jeez.
That was the thought I had.
Very nice guy.
Well, maybe he is, but I didn't give him the chance to be a nice guy because he has that plate, and he goes blowing past me in an electric car, shitting on gas cars.
I got a ride in a Tesla once, and it was the big model, the one with the big the heavy duty motors.
Yeah,
and
dual motors.
Well, whatever the hell it is, but you sit in the passenger seat, and the guy says, "Hey, I bet you never saw this happen," and he just stepped on and it's just the acceleration is unbelievable. You get pinned to the seat, and then it gets faster and faster and faster and faster.
Did you wet your pants?
Holy shit, no! But it felt great. It was good.
Even though you didn't wet your pants?
I did.
So what do you think that guy with the Tesla is an asshole or not?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
I just want verification of that.
I would have had my license plate say, "See ya."
gas, LOL. Cram it. Cram it, you clown.
Oh man.
So I have a couple of news stories. You guys current events. And now current events.
And the news with Mike Adams.
You know, Tom Curran should have a segment on the radio called Curran Events.
Tom E. Curran?
Yeah. Curran Events, though. I mean, wouldn't that be great?
I think it'd be great.
I told Mike Reese when he was in the studio with me at WEEI, this is 20 years ago, or whatever it was, 15. I said, you should have a thing called Reese's Pieces on TV. Like, he goes, oh, that's a great idea. And then he never did it.
Got a million of those great ideas.
What a waste.
Those are million-dollar ideas.
You know, a waste is a terrible thing to mind. In the news, a new analysis from Bankrate.com finds that in 22 states and in Washington, D.C. as well, buyers need a six-figure income to afford a house.
Well, but Biden keeps telling us the economy's great.
Well, he's full of shit. You need a six-figure household income to comfortably afford a typical median-priced home in 22 states in America now. So you got to make 100K to get just an average, you know, down the middle of the road house. That's unbelievable. Wait till you hear this, though.
If a younger person can find a job that pays that much,
what's contributing to this? Hmm. The interest rate.
You think?
Oh. What is it affordable? Of course, how do you define affordability can widely vary. It's not just the income, but their savings and whether or not they have money left over after paying for the house to afford other bills. And, you know, everything else is up too, so you need more money to afford the food and all the energy stuff and all that stuff. But the median home price is $402,000 in America. Mm. Yeah, as we know, it's much higher in Massachusetts. It's like $500,000 and some. According to that number, aspiring home buyers must earn $110,000 to afford a $402,000. This is a national average, okay? But if you're on the West Coast, and I'm not, you know, or in the Northeast, yes, I am, you need a much higher household income to afford a typical home. The top five places for unaffordability are California, where you need an income of $197,000 is what you need for an average house in California. Okay, next, Hawaii, $185,000. That's what you got to make to have an average house in Hawaii. That's without the free lay. At D.C., Washington, $167,000. And fourth on the list, Massachusetts, which is from where we are now broadcasting.
Fourth on the list.
You need an average of $162,000 a year to be able to afford an average house in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, I don't know about you guys, but $162,000 is more than I make, you know, in a month.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Fifth is Washington State. Other states with six figures, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Idaho, Maine, Maryland, Montana, blah, blah, blah. But what I'm trying to indicate here is that
Idaho.
We got to, well, you know. So the vistas are beautiful. I don't know. They really are. This state is driving itself into the ground based on a whole bunch of different things. First of all, they've bitten off more than they can chew as far as allowing people to come to Massachusetts who are destitute, homeless, feckless.
And they won't admit it.
Or immigrants.
They overstep their boundaries.
They don't speak English.
They screwed everything up.
They bring them into the school system. They got to get an interpreter. And the classes go from 25 students per class to 32, and seven of them don't speak English. You know, it slows the whole world down. Never mind that. It's like you just keep bringing people in, and you don't have any place to put them. So what happens to housing? The demand goes up means the prices go up. It's that simple.
You know what they're doing in England? They're mandating that people leave their homes. Let's say an elderly couple, they live in a house, like an average-sized house.
Yeah.
The government has determined that the house is too big, and it's mandated they have to sell their house to let the illegals...
And move into a flat?
Let the illegals move in, yeah.
Seriously?
That's really pathetic. That's the law over there now.
By contrast to the high price of housing in Massachusetts, $162,000, in the South and the Midwest, they have much lower levels of income to have the average-size house. Mississippi, $63,000. Ohio, $64,000.
That surprised me.
Arkansas, you know. These are all in the 60s, you know, 60s range for a house. Indiana, Kentucky. So somebody's doing something wrong in the way they're running our state. We know California, under the auspices of Gavin Newsom, that greasy, stupid scumbag.
Meanwhile, there are 141 more billionaires in the world than last year.
Yeah.
With 2,781 in total.
Yeah.
Their combined worth of all the new billionaires.
$8 trillion.
You want to guess?
I don't know.
You say $8 trillion? Yeah. Ben, what do you think?
$12 trillion.
$14.2 trillion, up by $2 trillion in 2023.
But are they here buying us houses that we want? Yeah. No.
So what are you saying? Tax the rich?
Well, you could because, let's see, Bernard Arnault. Do you know who this guy is?
He owns LVMH, the luxury.
Yeah, that's exactly
brand.
Right.
Luxury, is he a French guy?
Yeah. Cosmetics fashion conglomerate in France. What do you suppose he makes? He's the richest man on earth.
I don't know.
What is he worth or what does he make?
What does he make? Sorry, his net worth. Sorry.
His net worth, $215 billion.
And what do you think, Mike?
More. 303.
Ben wins $233 billion.
Wow. Well, Ben knows the guy, obviously. He hangs around all those French guys.
Yeah.
And he wears perfume.
Mm-hmm. Elon Musk is number two now. What do you suppose his net worth is?
202. $143 billion.
$195 billion.
See, I want to be friends with him. I want to be friends with him. He could get me off and running on all kinds of different careers.
What about Jeff Bezos?
I don't like him.
178.
I don't like Bezos. He creeps me out.
$195 billion.
Jesus. He's got that weird eye.
What about Zuckerberg? He does have that weird
eye. 178.
You think he'd get that fixed? Ben, 178? 177 is what he makes, yeah?
Now, I don't have a jealous bone in my body, but can I just say something? Fuck all those guys.
Yes. So tax rich?
What about the wealthiest woman on earth?
Oh, now you're in my ballpark here.
Go ahead.
Because now I have a chance.
Go ahead. Francoise Betancourt Myers,
yeah.
Granddaughter of the founder of the L'Oreal company, the richest woman in the world. She is worth
$80 billion.
$99.5 billion.
See, women don't get paid as much as men in this world. It's just not right. It's sexist. I have another news story.
Hey, hold on, one more.
No.
Yeah, you shut the fuck up.
No,
Mike.
I'm waiting to do the news story.
Mackenzie Scott. She's the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos.
I don't give a shit.
How much do you suppose she's worth?
She's worth half of what he's worth.
She's worth half of what she was worth. Didn't she just give away like $4 billion or something,
something like that? She's worth $35.6 billion.
Ridiculous.
Just thought you'd like to know.
Slut.
That.
Because, no, I'm kidding.
And now back to the news.
Right, instead of taxing them, they should just make them spend it. Right? Just make them spend it.
Spend it all.
You guys got to spend this.
Immigrant children as young as 14 were found working illegally amid dangerous heavy equipment at a Tennessee firm that makes parts for lawnmowers. Sold by John Deere.
Someone's got to get those little fingers in there, fix the blades.
According to Labor Department officials, the company Tough Torque was fined nearly $300,000 for hiring. They were fined $300,000 for hiring 10 children. That's only $30,000 per child. So they make even less than women.
Yeah. Yep. See?
What if they're women children?
Wait. The company's also required, according to agreement with the federal government, they required to set aside $1.5 million to help the children who were illegally employed. Oh, wait, so they're going to get paid out over this thing. Now, I wonder if these are illegal immigrant children who have been trafficked, because that's what's going on in America. You know, there's like 100,000 missing kids since the Biden administration began, where they came across and they said, oh, I know this guy over here. Okay, go. They don't even know where they are.
No.
So some of them might be working in jobs, that, you know, cutting meat factory stuff, you know.
Adrenochrome.
The Labor Department did not specify what work the children were doing, but labor official Juan Comia said what his investigative team found in Tough Torque's very busy Morristown factoring plant was astonishing. They were as young as 14 working late at night at the 24-hour manufacturing facility. They were working at like 2
They gave them the night shift, too?
Yes.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Are you kidding me?
You're already paying them less than women.
I have another news story. One more. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
I love the news. Most of the time I'm sitting home watching the news, just watching the news.
Why?
Watching the news.
It's anger porn.
No, it's not. I'm coming up with solutions. I have solutions to all the world's problems.
You're not implementing them.
I don't have the job that implements them. If someone came to me and said, Mike, if you were president, what would you do? I'd say, make me president first, and I'll tell you. And then I would fix the border immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
What else would you do?
All it would take is an army
The army, a few nukes.
And that farm I talked about where you...
Your slave farm?
Avocado farm.
Oh, that's right, the slave farm.
It's not a slave farm. Yeah.
It's very slavish.
No, it's like it's your get-out-of-jail-free card. I mean, you know, people don't listen. I have context when I'm doing it. These ideas are nuts. I'm not just some fluffer nutter over here spewing shit. I mean, you know, I'm a
half right.
I'm a highly educated.
You're right. You're not a fluffer nutter.
I know stuff.
You're a regular guy spewing shit.
I know stuff, and I can handle things.
Just a fluffer.
What are you, Fredo now?
An airport tour in the Florida Everglades. Listen to this one. And I went on one of these with Billy, you know, Billy and Kim down in Florida.
Yeah.
We went on one of these little boats where they go out where the alligators are. And it's like an airboat. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, it's fun. But listen to this.
Oh, you mean those?
That's a lawnmower.
Like, those giant fans that's in the back?
Yes. An airboat tour in Florida Everglades capsized, sending passengers overboard on Friday. This happened when the airboat's driver took a sharp turn to try to see an alligator in the water, according to the reports. Everybody fell off the boat into the water where the alligators are.
Anyone die?
Oh, my God. Scary or what?
Anyone die?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Show some patience. I mean, when you watch Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you didn't want to know right at the beginning, you know, did they all bang her?
I just assumed that going in.
Yeah. She was always pretty happy.
You know,
too happy.
Snow White's cherry never got popped, but it did have seven little dents in it. Now, Miami-Dade Fire Rescue said three units responded to a waterway near Coopertown, the original airboat tour in the Everglades Friday afternoon. According to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, nine people and the operator all fell into the water when the boat took a quick turn. Maybe he should slow down a little on the corners.
Yeah, you know, you can really jockey those things around, but if you do take a sharp turn, they will flip everybody on board overboard.
Happily, everyone got back on the boat.
Boo!
Yeah, but, you know, if you go down there, you see all these alligators. It's like the first thing alligators do when something lands in the water next to them is they eat it.
Yeah, right away.
They just eat it, whatever it is.
How many of those boats do you think have killed alligators over there? We're supposed to be going and, like, checking out and doing a, you know, sightseeing tour, and they're just chopping them up underneath.
Yeah, that's a croc.
No, in Florida, it's alligators.
Then why do they call it Alligator Alley then? That highway that goes across?
That's where they have their knife fights.
But in the movie Peter Pan, where Peter was dressed up in green, remember that little hat?
Yes, I do remember that.
That was a crocodile with a stomach that had a clock in it.
Yeah, but
it was a crocodile. It was a crocodile. It had a, right?
Yeah.
That's
right.
Did we go all that way for that?
No, I'm thinking the story through. You know, that Wendy. I always had a crush on Wendy.
Well, Wendy, darling?
Yeah, Tinkerbell was too small, you know. But Wendy was...
She was like 12.
I saw with subtitles. I saw the Polish version.
Oh?
It was Peter Pansky. And it was really good. Even with the language, I already knew the story. I knew it happened. I think we've covered most things. I got a couple more things. I want to discuss the future of the podcast. I've decided to make a career left jag turn, a harsh one.
Hold on. You mentioned
in a
this,
few months.
You mentioned this earlier that you're actually going to change careers.
Right. I'm going to do some things that will actually make some money. Like, not much. Yeah. I'm going to put together like a 20 to 30 minute comedy routine. Try to break the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
For getting booed off the stage.
You're giving up the underwear modeling, though.
I am. It's getting expensive. This stuff's getting expensive. There's supply chain issues on big, large underwear for men.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go into... and I'm going to go to all the little clubs, you know, the little ones, like Ed's Comedy Stop, you know, in Taunton. Is there such a place?
There will be.
And I'm going to go in there, and I don't give. And I'm going to not GAF. What's that term mean?
Give a fuck?
Exactly.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
That's the one I was looking for, because it doesn't matter if they, you know, what do you get for doing a comedy stop? $25? $50?
$25, $50.
Something in there.
You could go to a few open mics.
But it's a great way to meet unfunny chicks.
Open mic with Mike.
And so I'm going to make the turn. I'm going to make the turn. And then it's going to be a YouTube special. And it's going to have like 20 views.
Will you come out in some of the underwear that you no longer model?
No, no. What do you think I am? What am I, some kind of pig?
Well, you're known for it.
You want him to go streaking?
Sure.
So I went to the skin doctor. You know, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
And I have Irish skin.
Don't say that to Bill. That's rude.
Well, everybody thinks he's 10 years younger than me. I have Irish skin. You know, I'm not completely pallid, pale, sick-looking.
It's pronounced Irish Spring.
But I like it, too.
I'm glad you like it. Let's go out into the barn. my wife wanted to go to a nude beach. Two things that don't go with Irish. Nude and beach. She really wants to do that. I said, no, my skin. I went to the skin doctor, and I told her, and then I take your shirt off, you know, and then after they get done going, whoa, wow. And I said, I got more moles than the CIA. And they all went.
What's that mean?
Were the little Asian doctors?
Yes, they were.
Oh, boy.
They were skin people. And the good news is I do not have skin cancer.
Yeah, that's good.
You know.
What the bad news is?
The bad news is they found out I have three nipples.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding.
You have one on your back.
That's right. Yeah. That's the one I was wondering. No wonder I didn't know I had
three. Can we milk it?
Okay, no wonder I didn't know. I mean, how do you look at a back nipple? You have to have two mirrors. Now, I just want you to know, though, that they gave me these three medicines for whatever skin conditions I have, a little dry skin on your elbow, you know. And guess how much the medications cost? This is what to show you the price of everything's going up. $55.
You know what you should have done? So you said you have like dry skin, dry elbows, and stuff like that?
It's not flaking off like a leper.
You know what works that doesn't cost $55?
What?
Lotion.
Oh.
Lotion.
What?
It's going to take an ocean
of calamine
lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound. The minute you start to mess around. Poison Ivy by the Coasters.
I know Ben doesn't know that song.
Yeah, Ben's.
No.
Ben was a Johnny come lately, in this part. So, but my skin is great now. I got everything,
What about your face? Did they tell you anything? Put the skin on your face.
What are you talking about? You look like a snakeskin boot.
Or no, as the late Dick Raddatz said, you look like a blocked punt. Never has there been a better description of me on a Sunday morning after being hungover. So that's it. That's all I got. I think if we get together next week, we'll have a whole new bunch of other stuff to talk about, gentlemen. Don't you have a quiz or something?
That was the quiz.
The billionaire stuff.
You know what
my favorite billionaire ever was? Carlos Slim.
Yeah, Carlos.
He's still on the list?
I think so. Well, I didn't see him on the list, but I like that guy and his skinny little mustache.
Pencil thin?
That's him.
I like pencil thin guys. Guys that have pencil thin mustaches, they do this. They do this all the time. They do. They're always twerking it.
What?
Twerking?
Tweaking it is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So rest in peace, Dick Raddatz on his 87th birthday, and Larry Lucchino, who passed away today at 78 years old. Two people the Red Sox Nation still should respect and miss forever and ever. Amen.
Two nice people.
And we'll be back next week, provided I don't start that comedy career. If I'm going to, if I go to Ames, Iowa. I mean, I'm sure that I can get a few people to laugh out there. Maybe I'll make more than $50.
Let's pretend you're on stage right now.
What do these guys make per show? I mean, I have no idea.
Hold on.
25, 50, 100 bucks?
But I'm not in it for the money.
Give us an idea what it would be like with you step out on stage. What do you say to the crowd?
I say, hey, everybody, how's it going?
Why do you come out doing an impression of Dick Robinson, someone nobody knows outside of like three towns in Connecticut?
Hi everybody. Hi, it's Dick Robinson for Pat's Tire and Muffler Shop. he did a commercial for that down in Connecticut. And also Railroad Salvage. Hi, everybody. Dick Robinson for Railroad Salvage, Route 5 in South Windsor, Turner's Falls, Massachusetts, where Ruby says if he can't sell it for less, he just won't buy it.
This is basically if Dick Robinson and Foster Brooks had a baby. That's the impression.
God bless him. We should get him on the podcast.
Foster Brooks?
No.
I think he's long dead.
Dick Robinson. He would be great. He's got stories. He's got stories. Meanwhile, Joe and Jerry are here, as always, and they want to finish up. They asked me if since they're both Italian guys,
yeah,
if they could do another Sinatra song. I said, yeah, why not? Why not? Hey, knock yourself out. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring is sprung. And every time I see you grin, you wipe your chin. You're such a happy individual.
The moment that you speak, Joe, I want to go and play some hide and seek.
Ah.
I want to go to bounce the moon just like a toy balloon.
You and I are just a couple of tots.
Twats?
Running across a meadow, true. Picking up lots of forget-me-nots.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel like my schlong is hung. Bells to be rung.
A wonderful fling to be flung.
You're dung.
I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young.
This is getting old, Joe.
You make me feel so young, Troop. You make me feel that songs to be sung.
And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual.
The moment that you speak, hey, 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 I want to go outside and play hide and seek.
With my cheek, give it a tweak.
Don't forget your toy balloon.